Hello and welcome to the Boys Turner podcast. My name's Fran. I'm an associate solicitor at Boys Turner Solicitors. In this episode, we're going to be talking about stomas. For those of you who don't know, a stoma is an opening on the surface of the abdomen which has been surgically created to divert the flow of feces or urine. Boys Turner regularly helps and acts for people who have stomas as a result of medical negligence, and we understand and see firsthand the impact that this has. I'm very pleased to be joined by Giovanni, who is Marketing and Campaigns Manager at Colostomy UK. We're going to be talking about the everyday challenges that face people living with a stoma and how these can be eased. We're going to talk about the emotional and practical impacts of having a stoma, as well as the help that's available out there and how to get it. Hello, Giovanni. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
So please can you tell us a little bit about Colostomy UK and the great work that you do?
So Colostomy UK are a national charity that supports people with all types of stomas. We've been around since the 1960s, but have been Colostomy UK and our current guy since 2017. I guess you could summarise the support we offer into three areas in terms of, practical advice and guidance on managing a stoma, emotional support, helping people come to terms with the challenges that they can face around stoma surgery, and also advocacy work, looking to improve infrastructure, facilities, change perceptions that can sometimes exist in society around stomas that can have a negative impact then on people's lives.
Thank you. So, how do the people that you support at Colostomy UK tend to come to have a stoma in the first place? So do you see similar causes that people have stomas, or is everybody different?
So there's quite a variety of reasons. Some of the kind of conditions that people might know more than others are IBD, irritable bowel disease, so Crohn's disease or colitis, bowel or bladder cancers, another one, trauma. For example, if someone's had a road accident, or unfortunately, if someone's maybe been a victim of knife crime, endometriosis, ovarian cancer, they're just some of the reasons why someone could have a stoma. I think the numbers are changing. I think better bowel cancer screening means that more younger people with bowel cancer are having stomas. There's higher prevalences of Crohn's and colitis than there used to be as well now. So yeah, there's a perception sometimes that it's more of an older person's condition to have a stoma, but it does impact everyone from babies to teenagers to sort of like working adults.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what we see at Boys Turner. We regularly ask people who live with stomas, and exactly as you said, each person has a stoma for a different reason. And our clients are a vast variety of different ages as well. So I've acted with someone who has a stoma because they sadly experienced a delayed diagnosis of colon cancer. As you've just mentioned, bowel screening is getting better, but unfortunately, sometimes things are missed. That client suffered a perforation of the bowel as a result of the increased size of the tumour, and that happened only as a result of the delay in diagnosis of the cancer. Another thing that we see is perforation, which can occur during other surgical procedures. Bowel conditions such as diverticulitis and Crohn's disease, which you've mentioned, need to be diagnosed in a timely manner and treated effectively. And there are occasions when failure to do that results in the need for a stoma. So again, I think we're seeing very similar things that you experience with the people you support. And that's why it's great that we are having this conversation. Another thing I wanted just to kind of discuss with you, Giovanni, is that through talking to clients, I've come to understand that each person living with a stoma deals with the reality of that very differently. Some people adapt relatively quickly to the day-to-day routine of having the stoma, and others can experience quite extreme distress and, you know, anxiety. You know, it could be logistically so difficult to cope with having a stoma out and about. And just one experience that they perceive as, you know, being embarrassing can have a huge impact on them. So what challenges do people with stomas experience and report to you? And how do you help them with those challenges?
I mean, I think the challenges come under sort of like the emotional and the practical side of it. If you look at the practical side of it first, a lot of it is just getting used to managing their stoma on a day-to-day basis and all the things that can happen that could need to do. It could be anything from queries about parastomal hernias. So a parastomal hernia is a hernia that sits on the stoma. And obviously, because you've had major surgery, your abdominal and your core is quite weak. So people are quite prone to having parastomal hernias, which can massively impact on their ability to do day-to-day things. I think the latest statistics that we've seen are about 70% of people with a stoma will at some stage develop a parastomal hernia. So we give a lot of advice around exercise, around diet and nutrition, which can help manage things like that. We have a range of what we call active ostomates classes, which are geared towards getting people back to being active again, strengthening their core. So that helps to kind of prevent things like parastomal hernias, as well as the other benefits of being active. So virtual classes, we do things like Zumba, Pilates, yoga, chair yoga, dance. We also do those classes in community settings as well. The main other kind of areas of that practical support are things like people suffering from sore skin and leakage, if their bag isn't like fitted properly or they've got the wrong type of stoma bag. A lot of queries about reversal, obviously, as well, because I think a lot of stomas are classed as temporary, especially if people have IBD. And I think, depending on whether people get used to their stoma or not, can then sort of like lead people into kind of whether they become focused on having a reversal or getting on with sort of like managing their stoma. From an emotional point of view, again, it's that we find that, you know, a lot of people do struggle with coming to terms with what is major surgery. You know, it massively impacts their body image. It potentially, because of that impact on body image, it can stop people doing a lot of the things that we take for granted, like sort of like getting active again. So we have a 24-hour free phone helpline, which is run by volunteers, all of whom have got a stoma. So they give emotional and practical experience-based advice based on their own sort of like experience of living with a stoma. We also have a befriending service for people who maybe need a little bit extra support from our helpline. We've got a wide range of advice literature for people on all the topics that I've spoken about there. And so we also do a lot of campaigning because, as you mentioned earlier, one negative experience from people can really sort of impact on their life and make them think about their stoma in a negative way. So we did a stoma aware survey, we called it, back in 2022. And the results of that were that 62% of people feel that a lack of suitable toilet facilities impacts on them doing the things that most of us take for granted, like going to the shops, going to the pub, going to after dinner, meeting a friend for coffee, going to a football match. Also, 25% of people who answered felt that they were worried about using an accessible toilet because they'd been physically or verbally abused for doing so in the past. So a lot of our campaigning is around making accessible toilets stoma friendly. So that's having a hook, a shelf, a bin and a mirror, which sort of like allows people to change their bags in comfort. We also campaign around public toilet provision because I think especially COVID has pushed this on, but there's been a sort of like a huge reduction in the number of public toilets available, especially council-owned ones in the last 5 to 10 years, which again, that lack of suitable facilities means that people do sometimes think twice about going out due to worries about will they find a suitable toilet if they need one, which can then obviously lead to people feeling lonely and isolated and all the challenges that come from that. So a lot of our campaigning focus over the last couple of years has been around improving toilet facilities and encouraging businesses, organizations, local government to increase the number of toilets they have as well.
And indeed, the things that can be done to improve accessibility of toilets don't seem to me to be too onerous. You know, as you said, it's a hook, a mirror, a shelf, that kind of thing. And it can make a great deal of difference.
Absolutely. And you're saying it is little things, and you know, people often question why you need them. And it's like, so a hook is purely so people can hang their coat up before, or hang their bag up whilst they're changing their bag. Otherwise, where's it going to go on the floor? You know, people need, people have a sort of like a range of supplies with them when they're changing their bag. So not only do they have new bags, but they have things like adhesive removal sprays or deodorants. They also carry sort of like little waste bags. So just having a shelf so they can lay their supplies out rather than having to do it again on a cistern or potentially a dirty floor. A full length mirror, because obviously everyone's body shapes are different, and like everyone can look down and see their stomach to change their bag. So having a full length mirror allows people to just obviously change their bag whilst looking in the mirror. And yeah, a bin to sort of like dispose of their used bag once the waste has been disposed of in the toilet. So it's really simple things, and we've actually had a lot of sort of like positivity over the campaign, especially in the last 6 months or so. We've had organisations like Bupa, Network Rail, Southeast Trains, Manchester United, lots of sort of like major companies, Landsec, lots of shopping centre and retail park management companies signing up to the campaign. So there's quite a lot of momentum around it now, and it does make a difference for people.
Yeah, that sounds great, because I can only imagine, as you said, the emotional impact of worrying about this all the time, and the easier it can be to feel like you can go out and about, you know, and not have to worry so much about that is great. We touched on a little bit kind of the emotional impact as well of having a stoma. So obviously, from my perspective as a medical negligence lawyer, my clients quite often have a stoma and it's an emergency situation. They've been through something traumatic and there might have been a perforation, emergency surgery. And actually, there can be no time at all to deal with the emotional impact of having a stoma if you're in that situation. It's not something that you've built up to. You think, and you know that this is a possibility in your future. Some people have no idea. And also something that I think it would be interesting to talk about with you that people perhaps don't realize is, and you mentioned hernias earlier, but also with complications that come, again, particularly with stomas that have been cited in emergency situations. It's not a situation where, you know, the stoma is fitted for some people and then that's it. There can be ongoing support that is required, medical and emotional. So I don't know if you could talk a little bit about that for us and the experience that the people that you support and you know, how you help them with that.
I mean, there's definitely a difference between that we find generally between people who have got elective surgery rather than emergency one. People with elective surgery, they have the opportunity to kind of like learn more about why, you know, what a stoma is. It's that knowledge is power at the end of the day, the things that they can do to aid their recovery as much as possible. So you mentioned earlier about being active, about having a good diet, all that kind of information can be passed on beforehand. So people are more prepared for what's going to happen and the challenges they might face afterwards. A lot of people that we find, if they don't get the right information, worry about things like mucus or rectal discharge. So again, if you know that you're going to have surgery, a lot more of that information can be passed on. And you're exactly right. People who have it in an emergency surgery for whatever reason, and you know, they're taken into hospital, they wake up and, you know, one of the first things they're told is they've got a stoma, and they had no idea that that was going to happen to them. It does impact people differently, again, because they're not prepared for it. They're maybe not as educated on it because of that as well. And there is, of course, there is that stigma still in society sometimes around having stomas. It does have a huge impact on some people. I guess the support we have for people in emergency situations, the stoma isn't any different from what we have for everyone in terms of, we do have that 24-hour helpline. We can match people up with volunteers who maybe have had their stoma for the same reason, so they can talk through their experiences, how they've managed it. We do have that longer support system in place with regards to befriending for people who might need that. that extra support. Yeah, I think, you know, what we have available is there for anyone, regardless of how and why they've had their stoma and what type of stoma they have. The biggest difference is you do see generally people who have it in emergency situations do maybe emotionally struggle more because they're not prepared for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, you can only imagine kind of waking up and all of a sudden your eyes are this is a situation. So it's great that Colostomy UK is there and has that helpline. It has the logistical support and also getting to know other people in the same situation that you might be in, invaluable, because nobody, I'd imagine it can be quite isolating for some people. You feel like nobody understands what you're going through in that situation.
Yeah, I think especially for older people, generalizing, I think younger people now who have stoma surgery, because there's a lot of advocates online now. You know, social media is full of people with stomas telling their story. So younger people aren't necessarily as isolated, and there's big communities out there, especially online for them. But it's generally older ostomates who maybe aren't as connected to the internet. You know, we still hear so many stories of people getting in touch with us saying that they've never met anyone with a stoma before. They kind of feel like they're the only person out there. And because they can be sort of like more isolated, either geographically or technology wise, then, you know, being able to talk to someone on the other end of the phone, or also through our support magazine, read those life real kind of stories of people who have faced the same challenges, is really powerful still.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely. To be able to kind of see that representation in a way that is accessible to you, like you said, magazines if it's an older person, or online and support networks there if you're younger. So thank you so much, Giovanni. It's really great to hear about the work that Colostomy UK does. For anyone who's listening and wants to contact you, how can they do that? And also, if they want to support the charity, how can they help you if they want to do so?
Yeah, you can visit us online for our website, which is www.colostomyuk.org. You can also give us a call on 0118 939 1537. If anyone who's listening might need some support from us, our helpline number as well is 0800 328 4257. And if you'd like to support us, there's loads of ways. You can do it by making a donation, either through sort of like the website address, colostomyuk.org, and just click on the donate button. We're always looking for people to fundraise for us, or get involved as volunteers as well. You don't have to have a stoma to volunteer for us. There's lots of sort of like other roles that people can do. And again, if you visit our website, colostomyuk.org, and click on the Get Involved tab, all the volunteering information is there.
Thank you, Giovanni. Thank you very much for your time.
No worries. And thank you for having me. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell your listeners a little bit about Colostomy UK.
If you or anyone you know has experienced serious injury resulting in a stoma and suspects this may be due to medical negligence, please do not hesitate to contact one of our team at Boys Turner so we can talk about what your options are. If you would like to hear more from our team, please subscribe or follow our podcast. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.